Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I tell you, it has been an interesting day for me. When we go through our days on a normal basis, we have such plans to carry out our normal routines of life. And when the enemy tries to come against us in small, subtle ways, or maybe in a big way, to try to throw us off course, you know, I thank God that he can supply me with everything I need, every weaponry I need to cast down every stronghold that tries to come against me in any way, shape, and form. And I rejoice in the Lord, and I confess that he is my God, and I employ you and encourage you to do the same thing every single day. He supplies all of our needs. He is everything you need. Tonight, we've got a continuation, praise the Lord, of this awesome teaching track of Everything You Need. And we're in Series 2. And, of course, my guest host on this program today is Minister Lakeisha Richmond. And Minister Richmond is going to continue in this series, Everything You Need, with the focus on confession. Yes, confession is going to be her focus, to tell prayer daily. As a regenerated believer, we are to bless the Lord through a prayer life, a prayer language, and a know-so salvation and faith. Matthew 7:7 says it this way, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." You must cherish the Psalms as a prayer language, as David showed to the Lord. Psalm 66, verses 16 through 20, is a good reminder of how we are to go and tell, confess, what the Lord has done for you, through you, and to you. So praise the Lord. Get your Bibles, your tablets, or your cell phones, and come ready and prepare to engage in a good focus concerning everything you need, confession. So I've got Minister Lakeisha Richmond, studio with me so that we can just get right to it and be ready to dine at the King's table. So, Minister Richmond, yes. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Minister Lakeisha Richmond. I love the Lord. I'm a part of Turning Point Faith Ministries. I planned with Carnita since for about about 15 years, because my daughter is 21, about 15 years. And I've had a pleasure of serving in ministry with her. She's extended to me some awfully great platforms to be able to give my testimony and to just share Christ with the world. So I thank you, Carnita, for this opportunity again, and I'm grateful to be serving in ministry with you, and God bless you very much.
Amen.
So if I go ahead and start, or you want to go ahead and start?
We're following your lead.
Okay, so on today, I speak into your heart, speak into your mind and your soul, the understanding of confession, which is making known of what you are in need of. Our focus will be on confession, which is the making known of what you are in need of. Confession. confession is the first step into receiving everything you need. So to confess means, again, we discussed in the last lesson, to confess means to tell. So if we are in need, others may only know of our need by a written request or by us telling them we're in need of something. Confession is also acknowledging who we are and transitioning to a change. And the first scripture, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. And I will be reading from the Contemporary English Version. And it says, if you tell others, as Christ said, if you tell others that you belong to me, I will tell my Father in heaven that you are my followers. But if you reject me, I will tell my Father in heaven you don't belong to me. Confession is a personal choice. It is up to each individual. So I was trying to think of an analogy to kind of bring it down to terms to kind of make it easier to understand. So let's take a couple, a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. Just think, have you ever seen a couple walking in the mall? Or have you ever been walking, have you ever been in a relationship with someone and you're walking and others can't tell you're together? But once we have acknowledged we were sinners and then we repented, so we turned from our sin and we promised to imitate Christ day by day, but others can't tell that we are Christ-like. So, you know, yes, I made a public confession. Then I went back and told my friends, you know, I've given my life to God. I'm not doing those old things anymore. I'm going to serve God now. I'm going to try my best every day to look like and do what Christ did. Think about who wants to be in a relationship where one person don't want to let others know they are together or they represent one another. So can you imagine how after we confess Christ and we made this public statement, but then we walk away or we turn our back on God, we go against what we have promised to him. So we'll look at two categories in the Bible what confession mostly falls under. The first one will be confession as an admission of sin. So that scripture we're going to be coming from Joshua chapter 7. It's going to be verses 19-21. And I'll be reading to you from the King James Version. And it reads, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Don't hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylonian garments and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua had, they had gone into, they were supposed to destroy everything that was in this city. That was the instruction given to Joshua by God to tell his men to go in and destroy everything. You know, they weren't supposed to remove nothing from, they were supposed to destroy everything. And you can find that story, and if you read, you can read the whole chapter of Joshua, the seventh chapter of Joshua. But what happened, Achan, which is one of the men, he saw the silver, and what he did is he took it, and then he hid it in his tent. You know, he hid it in his tent. So it came up, that was a sin. And he admitted that he did sin against God because he knew the instructions came from Joshua, but Joshua gave him instructions that he received from God to his men. So I wanted to bring out a point that confession doesn't release us from consequence. Although we may turn from that sin or we may repent from that sin that we have done, it doesn't necessarily release us from that consequence. There's still consequences at times for what we've done. God forgives us and he has his mercy, but then there is consequence. And if we go to verses, same chapter, Joshua the 7th chapter, verses 22 to 26, and it says, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. Now, this is after Achan has confessed. He has admitted to the sin. So then Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, just like he said, and the silver under it. And he took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and led them before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold. Then they took his sons. This is Achan's sons. Then they took his daughters, Achan's daughters. Then they took Achan's oxen. And then they took his asses, then they took his sheep, then they took his tent, and all that he had, them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee. Now some, and another, I'll read it from the other version, and it'll make it plain to you. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him the great heap of stones until this day. Now, I would like to read that to you from the NIV version. And that's Joshua, the 7th chapter. Because he poses a question. It makes it a little plainer in the NIV version. I'm going to start with verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all of Israel, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all of Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, in verse 25, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord would bring trouble on you today. So that's just to show that, yes, after we have confessed our, you know, the confession as an admission of sin, you know, that confession just doesn't release us from that consequence. Now, I would like to bring up another type of confession. And that's a confession as an open, bold, courageous proclamation of one's faith. So when you first accept Christ, when you're a non-believer and you first accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is that type of confession. And that's found in Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. And it reads, so you will be saved if you honestly say, Jesus is Lord. If you believe with all your heart that God raised him from death, God will accept you and save you. If you truly believe this and tell others, tell it to others. So verse 13, all who call out, so you're calling out to the Lord, will be saved. So all who call out, that does not mean just some people, but all people. So anyone can make a confession unto the Lord, and the Lord will save them. And we'll go to the daily, the NIV version, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And I'll read it in the NIV version. And it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Okay? That's another, and then verse 13 reads, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's not just, it's anybody, child, you know, boy, girl, man, woman, anybody, drug dealer, prostitute, anyone can be saved. They call on the name of the Lord. All they have to do is confess. Admit they sin. This is one way of confession. You know, Lord, I am a sinner, and I don't deserve eternal life. But I do believe that Christ died. I do believe that you rose him from the dead, and I do believe that he's coming back again. That's that. Okay? Confession challenges you to change. Confession challenges you to change from your old ways, your old thoughts, and your old words, especially your words. We have to walk what we talk. And in 1 John, the first chapter, I'm going to read verse 6, verse 9, and verse 10. It says, if we say that we share in life with God, but we keep living in dark, we have told everybody we're now saved, you know, I've made this public confession, but I don't act or talk differently. I'm still living and doing those same old things before I confess Christ. Then Scripture says we're lying and we're not living by the truth. Verse 9 says, but if we confess our sins to God, he can always, not sometimes, but always be trusted to forgive us and to take our sins away. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his message isn't in our hearts. In the scripture, Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no one is but Christ. Everybody else, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all we have to do is just repent of it, you know, turn from it. Don't do that same thing over and over. You know, the next scripture would be 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. And the NIV version reads, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. The Templar English version said, God stays one with anyone. Notice, in every version of the Bible, God is still saying anybody can be saved. Anybody can confess. Anybody can come to me and call on me and be saved. Anybody, anyone. No, not just certain people, but anyone. So God says in a contemporary English version, God stays one with anyone who openly says that Jesus is the Son of God, and that's how we stay one with God and are sure God loves us. That's that oneness. That's that confession of faith. That's that because when you are joined with someone, you are in unity. You are together. That's a confession. That's a promise you have made to be together. You have told each other, you know, yes, I'm with you. From the end of it, you know, you have made that confession openly or to one another. Confession is telling, which opens up a line of communication. And we talked about prayer, which is our communication between us and our Heavenly Father. In Hebrews 4:16, the contemporary English version reads, so whenever we are in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God. There we will be treated with undeserved kindness. Find help. The New International Version says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Carnita, at this point, do you have anything to add or ask or points to bring out?
Well, as I was making my notes and listening to the scriptures that you are sharing, and they're so rich in highlighting and solidifying the points that you brought out concerning our focus point, confession. And in the prayer, I liked with what David demonstrated to us as brothers and sisters in Christ, and how he made the Psalms his prayer language to God. That was his confessions of love and his confession of faith to Yahweh God. And I just believe that this is what God has for us as the vehicle, if you will, or as the language that we take to him. And you made mention of coming to come boldly to the throne of grace, making our petitions, making our confessions known unto God. And we come reverently and we come humbly, and with making our confession through prayer known to God. And I thought that was a nice point to bring out concerning this focus of confession, because we can get a little confused, Lakeisha, in, as you mentioned, confessing our sins, and we're talking about those who may not be believers or Christ followers in a confession of our I'm a sinner, as you may mention. I'm a sinner, and I want to be saved. So how do we do that? You know, through salvation, of course. You know, we are saved by his grace, by grace, and we believe by faith. Now, that's all it takes for salvation. But as we have accepted salvation, free gift, what we use or we have, it's, I read it this way, and let me pull it out, and it really touched me in a way. It stated it this way: public confession is not the means of salvation, it is the evidence of salvation. So what does that let us know? That tells me that because of our confession of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died on that cross, buried on the third day, and resurrected, and who sits on the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, the high priest, then that lets me know, that because I am a Christ follower, I am going to be subjected to some persecution because of my confession of faith. And but through prayer, our confession of prayer to the Father, he covers us, and it propels us to continue to pursue him and continue to shine brightly before man. And I thought that would be very spot on at this moment to just kind of remind the listeners, reminding one another that we are called out to shine brightly in spite of what we are subjected to. Right. We are never to dim down our light. We are never to quench the spirit or grieve the spirit, should I say, grieving the spirit. And we should never grieve the Holy Spirit. And disobeying the Holy Spirit is grieving the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to do that as believers, as Christ followers. But for those who are not saved, for those who don't know Jesus in the pardoning of their sins. I think this is a very good resting point, Lakeisha, that we would pray a prayer of salvation at this moment, since we're just kind of camped around this particular point of prayer. Why not extend the gospel to those who may be listening out there across the world and allow them to be a part of our family? So let's do that right now. Let's not move any farther, and let's just pray a prayer of salvation and help those who may be listening. And I just don't believe it's by happenstance or by chance that you're listening. It's God's will for you to be listening at this very moment of your life, because he has a free gift for you. And so, Lakeisha, if you would do a prayer of salvation for those, and brothers and sisters who are listening, let's bond together from bosom to bosom and heart to heart with humbled hearts, and let's pray for those who may not know them. And if we could just come together as a body of Christ and allow someone to receive Jesus as their Savior or as their confession of faith. So, Lakeisha, if you could pray and help those come to the family of faith.
Okay. I'm just going to go straight from the scripture. So if you would repeat after me, use my words, but use your faith. And the scripture says that if you confess, so I, Lakeisha, say your name, confess that I am a sinner and that I don't deserve eternal life, but I believe that Jesus is Lord with all my heart, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And God says that you are saved. It's just that simple. Because I believe, I've confessed that with my mouth, that Jesus is Lord. And because I believe that with my heart, all my mind and all my soul, that God raised Jesus from the dead, I am saved. You are saved. You know why? Because it's with your heart that you believe, but with your mouth you have confessed. So God says that you are saved. He has rescued you right now, just now, from sin. He has turned you around. All you have to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I repent of all my sins. And I thank you for accepting me into your kingdom. And I will try each day, draw closer and closer to you. So you have to make a vow to get in God's word every day. So you have to get a Bible that you can understand and relate to. And the more that you build, the more that you read the scripture and you allow the scripture to minister to you and get in a good Bible study, teaching, a Bible teaching church, but you also are responsible for yourself to study. And that will strengthen you and rely on your sisters and brothers in Christ. You may have to change the people that are around you, because if they're not like minded, if they're not saved, then they won't build you up. They won't encourage you to stay on the right track. But that's all. It's that simple. By confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart, you are saved today. And you should thank God right now. Thank you, Father, for accepting me into your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for joining the Christian community. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to come in contact with more brothers and sisters in Christ. God would send those people across your path, your other brothers and sisters across your path, to strengthen you and to guide and lead you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I just felt in my Spirit that the Holy Spirit, of course, was just leading me to rest right here for somebody that is listening on this to this program. And that's what we are to do. We are to pray and extend the gospel to those who are lost, to those who don't know him intimately and personally, and that we are to extend that hand out to them, that they would come unto him and receive him as their Lord. And it says, of course, that whosoever will, let them come. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's kind of all I had in this particular area, Lakeisha. So you can continue to move with the remaining of the lesson. But amen.
I had a question for you. It was something you said about salvation doesn't have to be public, but it's evidence. Can you repeat that? Do you remember when you said that?
Yes.
About a confession or public confession?
Public confession. Of course, public confession is not the means of salvation.
Okay.
Confessing publicly that, yes, it is the evidence of salvation. So now that we've extended the gospel to those who may not know him in the pardoning of their sins, and they believe by faith that they are now saved, and they... Mm-hmm. turn from an old way of living and cleave to this new way of living as the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, our lives, and it rejuvenates us, it regenerates us, so we're regenerated to what? It's the evidence of our salvation.
Right.
So now I'm going around happy, joyfully, and willfully confessing that Jesus is Lord. He raised from the dead. Jesus, that's my confession. And so public confession for salvation, you know, confessing that I am a sinner, that is not the means of salvation, but it is the evidence of salvation.
Okay. I was going to say what came to me when you were reading that. I thought about, you know, when a couple goes to get married, they always have to be a witness, even if they don't have a large wedding. Even if they go before the judge, they still have to have a witness. So they make a public confession, but it has to be evidence of a witness. A witness has to be there to sign off on that document. That's what, when you were reading that, that's why I asked you.
And I love the story. Yes, Lakeisha, and that is a very good illustration for a witness. But in Scripture, when Jesus healed the blind man,
right.
And the blind man was born blind, if we are familiar with that passage, and that passage in Scripture in the New Testament, and he was born blind. And the religious leaders thought when Jesus healed him with sight from blindness, and he said, and he was once blind, of course, now he sees, and the religious leaders wanted they summoned for his parents to find out if he was really blind at birth.
Right.
And so they just would not believe with what they saw in this man. Okay, so when he was born blind and God, Jesus, gave him sight to see, and then he went away, not converted. He just confessed with his mouth that I was once blind, but now I see.
Blind, but now I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So he went away confessing a change, a new way. But the change was on the outside, not the inside.
Right.
And so as he went around the city telling people what a man did to him, he called him, I don't know who he was. or who he is, but I know he healed me from blindness. So he wasn't really sure. But when he finally met with Jesus at the end of that particular passage, it shows a conversion, a change from the inside.
Right.
And then he started confessing that he is a Christ follower. Yes, I am a Christ follower. I believe that he is the Messiah.
Yes.
Now, of course, it caused some trouble in the waters, if you will, with the religious leaders, because, again, during that time when you confess that you were a Christ follower, especially Jesus being the Messiah, then you're going to be subjected to persecution. It's still the same today. It's still the same today. So those who have confessed or who have accepted Jesus willingly and believe by faith, there comes some persecutions to certain degrees. And so we just have to have the full armor of God ready for every attack or fiery dart that tries to come our way. And, of course, we are fully equipped, and that's called B-I-B-L-E, Bible. and when we read, as you said, daily, and we use that prayer language, a confession of prayer, it builds us up with the help of our brothers and sisters. And I like what it says in Hebrew. Hebrew, what is that? It's Hebrew, I think I have it. Yeah, Hebrew 10 and 25.
Okay.
And it says, let us, talking about the believers, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day, capital D-A-Y, approaching.
Yes.
So as we see the day approaching, as Jesus is coming, in Revelation it says, Jesus, come quickly.
Yes.
So we are to continuously be in the Word of God, basking in the Word of God. So this, again, is a very good focus point for the sheep so that we won't be led astray by every foreign situation that comes. Yeah, that may come into our life. And it discourages us from continuing to confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
And we're coming up on Resurrection Sunday. And what an awesome time to let your light so shine and confess before the world who you are and who you stand for, and let your light so shine before men. So, amen. This is good. So, yeah, you can continue in our beautiful lesson and just continue to allow these scriptures to just saturate our hearts and our souls.
And, Cornelia, I just wanted, if anybody would like to read that story about Jesus heals a blind man, the one born blind from birth, that's St. John, the 9th chapter.
John 9.
John 9, yes.
Amen. Thank you for
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. I would like to continue with St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 7 through 8, and I'll be reading from the Contemporary English Version. And it says, if you ask, you will receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Everyone who asks will receive, everyone who searches will find, and the door will be open for everyone who knocks. So if we look at all these three words, ask, search, and knock, they are all present tense. I was like, wow. I was reading in the study Bible when it points out that they're all present tense. So to me, that says, again, we talked about in the last lesson about when your thoughts and your thinking are continuous. So this says that you can ask. That's continuous. It don't say you have, you know, that you just can ask one time. So that's unlimited. When you search, that's a continuous. When you knock, it doesn't give you a limit. So we must be persistent. That's what it says. We must be persistent with prayer and frequent with prayer, which is we're back at communication with our Father. So confession requires us to tell, to talk, and to request or to request something. Prayer is communication with our Father, the way we talk with Him, and we also listen for Him to answer. There is no relationship that I can think about that can endure or last without communication and trust. Every relationship has to be based on it. You have to talk, you have to communicate, and you have to trust one another. So, well, what other relationship can you have a foundational stance from or to start with, except with your Father in heaven? Communicate with Him, to tell Him what you are in need of, and for Him to provide it for you. And then, or to just listen for His answer. You can receive everything you need by confession. Check your thoughts, because what you think over and over should be positive. Are those thoughts good? Do those thoughts encourage me? Every time you think of your need, now it's different than what we said last time, but every time you think of your need, you're not going to just expect it, but this time you're going to confess Philippians 4:19. My Father, that's what you say with your mouth, my Father supplies all that I need. So you're not just going to say it and expect it, but you're going to confess it with your mouth. And what happens when you confess it with your mouth, you hear it. You confess it out loud, you hear it. Then you begin to believe it. You know, the more you say something, I learned in one of my classes that for every negative thought, it takes two positive thoughts to cancel out just that one negative thought. So just think about, that's double work. when you're thinking negative all the time, you've got that much, you have to put that much effort into being positive. But if you start off being positive, or even just catch and just changing when you're aware of, the Bible tells us to cast down every, let's see if I can find that scripture so I don't, I think imagination that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. Let me find it. And that's one thing, and it gets easier and easier, because when you're not realizing that you're thinking negative, and things always, the way you think and what you say, the Bible says power of life and death is in the tongue. So if you speak life, then you will create more life to situations. One moment. Cornelia, you have anything while I'm looking for the scripture?
Well, as you expressed, you know, when we the power that we have through the Holy Spirit, that when we speak about God's word and how God's word transforms a life, and through our prayer life, how it will transform a life. It happened with us, or with me, and the more that I'm sure I was prayed for by others, and the more that I prayed for myself, and the more that I got familiar with the Lord through His word, then the hungrier I became. And so as I became hungry for the word of God, of course, that's Jesus Himself, because we know what it says in John 1:1. And when we thirst and hunger for Jesus, then we it has a way of, the Word has a way of bringing along with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. They're all working together for our good. And
right.
The Holy Spirit living inside, the Word of God, we continue to feed ourselves in that respect, and then we demonstrate a language of prayer through confession, through coming to the throne of grace at His feet and making our petitions and laying them at His feet and just allowing Him to breathe on us. All of that is working together through His love, this
right.
kind of love that the world doesn't understand. So, and we call that agape love, you know, and all of that is working together for our good, according to, you know, Romans, you know, and all of this is working together for the flock. The shepherd feeds the flock. And I love the way my mentor put it to me, and it just kind of made, it just popped out at me. And he said it this way, of course, this is what the Lord tells us. Walk where I lead, or follow where I lead, eat where I feed. And if this doesn't make sense, it made so much sense in a simplistic way that
okay.
if I follow His lead, Jesus Christ, if I follow His lead, and how do I follow His lead? By way of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us and through the Word of God. He's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if I follow His lead, then He will feed me.
Yeah.
And that's the work of the good shepherd, the great shepherd. So,
yes,
yes, there is power. And we have that power when you know you are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Not in and of our own self, but only by way of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't do this program unless we are Holy Ghost filled.
Right.
And so I just don't want to not leave out the fact that our salvation is God living inside of us. And
right.
by way of the Holy Spirit, we do have that power to speak with boldness. Of course, what
right.
are we speaking? The very Word of God. And that is the power. It cuts. What does it cut? How does it cut? A double-edged sword?
Going in and out.
Deep, yes. And so
right.
it's convicting. And
right.
so, yes, did you find the...
yes, I found the 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. The Contemporary English Version reads, we destroy arguments and every bit of pride that keeps anyone from knowing God. We capture people's thoughts and make them obey Christ. In the NIV version, it reads, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that's, I mean, to me, it's just saying that any negative thing, so any negative thought, just use the Word of God to whatever it is. If you can get into the concordance in the back of your Bible, and for instance, just think about if you're thinking about hate, well, you would go into the back of the Bible and you would look up the love scriptures. If you have pride, then you know, if it's pride, you go in the back of the Bible and you look up maybe humbleness. So you look up the opposite of whatever it is that you may be faced with, or whatever negative thought that you're challenged with. Now, we did give you lesson Philippians 4 and 8. Now, that would be a good scripture to confess. It tells you to think on these things that are pure, that are lovely, that are good report. So you can write out some pure thoughts of confession. You can write out some lovely things to confess. That's just another idea. Now, thinking back on last lesson, the analogy about the bank, when we have worked either, we have our check direct deposited, take our check to the bank, and then it is made available to us. And then I brought out the point that sometimes when it's not a made, it's the our money's from that check or that it's not made available to us right away. So listen, our Father in heaven is our bank, and our prayers are our communication. We are telling our Father what we need. So those prayers are our deposits, and our faith makes the answers to our prayers available to us. And in that, it provides us with our every need, Father in heaven. I had pulled a couple things, points off the internet from Kenneth E. Hagin, and it's entitled Confession of God's Word Builds Faith. And this went right along with the lesson, so it's very good. It says, central truth, confession is faith's way of expressing itself. Faith's confession creates reality. So we know, according to Hebrews 11 and 1, that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things seen. So I think that was a great statement. Faith's confession, what we say about faith, is going to bring it to reality. I'm going to be able to, I may not can see it, but it's going to bring it to reality just by me believing. So just think about confessing what you need. Telling God what you need, just telling him what you need, that's going to bring it, it's going to bring it forth even faster. Now, it is always possible, this is what Kenneth Hagin says, it is always possible to tell if a person is believing right by what he says. If his confession is wrong, his believing is wrong. If his believing is wrong, his thinking is wrong. Thinking is wrong. It is because his mind has not been renewed with the Word of God. And we talked about that on the last lesson also. All three, believing, thinking, and saying, go together. So that thinking is, we thought you want to think those positive thoughts. Saying is that telling or that confessing, and believing is your faith. Wow. God has given us his Word to get our thinking straightened out. We can think in line with God's word. And we'll talk more about belief in the next lesson. Kenneth Hagin says, whenever the word confession is used, sometimes we instinctively think of sin and failure. But that is the negative side. That is important in its place, of course, but there is a positive side, and the Bible has more to say about the positive than the negative. So even the scripture, look at that, has more positive things to say. The negative. Confessing is affirming something we believe. It is testifying to something we know. So not that something we may think, but it's something that we know. So believing is knowing. Confessing is affirming something we believe. So that's testifying about something we know. It is witnessing for a truth that we have embraced. Our confession just affirming something we believe. Just, I want you to hold on to that. It's affirming. It's like concrete, okay? What God can do through us or what his word can do through our lips. Think about that. Think about what God can do through us and what his word can do through our lips, because it's power in the word of God. I'm getting a little excited, so I'm because if you really confess the scripture, if you give God back his word that he's left here for us, he said he is a man that shall not lie, cannot lie. It's not, we say DNA, it's not in his DNA to lie. You know, so if you pray his word, he's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring it to pass. Almost finished. He's going to bring it to pass. Believe me, he's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring it to pass.
Amen.
He's done it for me.
Amen. Amen.
He has no respect to person. So just confess it. Confess it. Confession increases faith. There is no faith without confession. Confession is faith's way of expressing itself. We said that earlier. Faith, like love, is of the heart and of the spirit. And we know that there is no love without word or action. We cannot reason love into people, nor can we reason love out of them. It is of the heart. as faith too is of the spirit or heart, we can safely say that there is no faith without confession. And faith grows with confession. And I believe faith grows with confession because the more you say something, the more you speak those things that be not as though they were, you begin to increase your faith because you begin to expect it. Think about God's track record. Think about something that he's done for you in the past that you really thought was impossible, and you didn't know how God was going to work it out, but he did. And if you think about it now and think about where you were then and you couldn't see how it was going to work out, and he did it, then that should encourage you and strengthen your faith and your confession. Now, the reason that the majority of Christians, this is according to Kenneth Hagin, the reason the majority of Christians, although they are sincere, are weak is that they never dare to make a confession of what they are in Christ. But what they must do is find out how, in the mind of God, he looks at them and then confess it. Now, how do you find out what's in the mind of God? Through his word. That's how you found out what's in the mind of God. So we confess with our mouth that it is so. We believe it, we confess it, and then we receive it. How do I know that? Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall you say unto this mountain, that you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever what he saith. Whatever he says. So you believe it, confess it, and receive it. That simple. Mark 11:23. Now I have just three little confessions, daily confessions that will help us, because I do the same thing. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself also. If we practice daily confessions, it should strengthen our it will strengthen our faith. Now we can, one of our daily confessions should be Matthew 6:33. And you have to make it personal. So when you read the scripture, you can read it as it says, but then you make it personal to for you. I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to me. That means as believers in Christ, we are continually, that's a constant thing, continually looking or seeking righteousness to do what is right according to the scripture. So my study Bible says when our priority is spiritual, God will take care of the material. For where he guides, he provides. Another daily confession would be Isaiah 41:10. It reads, fear not thou, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. And this is a confession to get rid of fear. So to make it personal, I said, I will not fear. But I know the Lord is with me. So you have to tell him, you will not fear, because you know the Lord is with you. Because you are my God, I will not be dismayed. I will not be discouraged. You need to confess that today. I know you, Father, will strengthen me, and you, Father, will help me. I know you will uphold me with your right hand of righteousness. And we have one more. And this would be 1 John 4:4. Confess it with, God is with me. Can you say that? God is with me. God is with me. Greater is he, talking about Christ, that is in me, than he that is in the world. Now, that's three daily confessions that should help not just us grow, but our faith grow, our trust in God and our Father grow. And again, those three were Matthew 6 and 33, Isaiah 41 and 10, 1 John 4 and 4. And if we can practice those as our daily confessions, that should strengthen us. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, this has been so rich, and these nuggets of confession and these nuggets for us to grow and go and be mighty, be a mighty army in our faith. I thank God for my brothers and sister who study to show thyself approved unto God. It does us so much good, and it puts so much weight on us as far as spiritual weight that we don't meander around looking spiritually ignorant or spiritually underweight. And I tell you, Minister Lakeisha, this has been such a blessing for you to have just exposed these nuggets and then to expound on them and brought out the richness. I mean, you've just unpacked this point of confession. And I thank God for your obedience. I thank God for your obedience to this teaching series, Everything You Need. And if you did not get the first teaching track lesson, go back to the website, and that is www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-MFTH, and that's heart, the number two, heart, MFTH, and that on the end of MFTH is Mission from the Heart. And go back and listen to the first teaching series of Everything You Need. And refresh yourself with that as you have tuned in to this particular series. And we will pick back up on next week with our second point concerning Everything You Need. And to build you a library, it's just a need for God's children to stay in His Word and saturate our souls with what it needs to be purified from the inside out, with a good concordance, a good parallel Bible, maybe with several different translations, and even a resource of commentaries. You know, reading other views, getting other commentaries, views from different lights, and to deepen your walk in His Word, to deepen your walk to where you can minister to others. And, oh, what this world is in, such turmoil, or these dark days of grace that we're in, we need a Savior. We see that. We need a Savior, and it's just the way it's going is screaming, we need a Savior. So thank you again, Minister Lakeisha Richmond, for bringing this beautiful, beautiful teaching lesson concerning Everything You Need. Well, this brings us to the close. Minister Lakeisha, do you have any closing remarks or that you want them to just kind of grab a hold of as we close out this broadcast?
It would be the statement that session is affirming what we believe. And that's the biggest thing to really realize, that it's confirming what we believe. So that means whatever we confess, affirming. That means it's reestablishing it. So we want to make sure we're confessing good things, you know. And it would be great if we confess the Scripture, not just according to what we need, but confess who we are, according that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Confess that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. All things, that's unlimited. You know, I mean, just remember that every confession is an affirmation to what you believe.
Amen. And that was so beautifully put. And I wrote that nugget down, so I propel you, I encourage you to go back and listen to this program. You can listen to this program 24 hours a day, over and over, and write these nuggets down. That was good word, affirming something we believe. And oh my, we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is that he died on that old rugged cross. He died. He bled. He hung. And he was buried. And he rose on that third day. And we celebrate, we rejoice that he conquered the grave. He did that. And that is something to rejoice about. That is affirming our joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And so I get excited about this. Lakeisha, when you were just going through these daily confessions and especially the end notes on prayer and how you were, concerning Kenneth Hagin. Oh, my goodness. You were really getting excited. I think you were going into your preaching mode. But it was amazing. And I was just grabbing hold of the energy. I was just... super excited, and it is infectious, and that is just called kindred spirits, you know, on how you can get excited, and you feel the joy and the energy and the movement of the Holy Spirit within you, and it is infectious. So amen to that, and hallelujah to that, and that is just a experiencing our God through the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Word of God, affirming that Jesus is. And we believe he's coming. He's coming to receive us, the church, the kingdom. And he is coming. And that is something to be joyful about, that he is coming. So, amen. I just want to end the program in encouraging us to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Confession. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Wow. And that's straight out of Psalms 34, verses 1 and 3 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. And Minister Lakeisha said it's for everyone, all people who will call out to Yahweh God. Wow, this is such a blessing. I hate to come to this end. I would love to just continue to go in the movement of the Holy Spirit through this program, through this broadcast tonight. But, of course, we are on a time schedule, and it just comes to an end. But we don't have to go away wondering, hungry, underfed. We are basking in his presence. And if you just allow him to move all around you, and you will experience him for yourself. So, amen. And thank you again. So we will be back again for Series 3. And what is the point going to be, Minister Lakeisha,
you want to talk about
for our next?
It'll be about believing. Belief, yes.
Amen. Wow, now that's rich. And that is something we need to exercise. We need to come with our gym clothes on and exercise belief. Amen. Yes. So I'm super excited, and I'm ready for that. So, again, always remember this, that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God will remain forever. God bless you, and have a blessed Sunday service, and just rejoice in the Lord and bless the Lord through your confession and allow it to be your prayer language to Yahweh God. God bless you and continue to be faithful to Him because He is faithful to us. God bless you and remain in His will. Good night.
Randall's Seafood Department offers a wide variety of high-quality fresh fish at a great value. So whether you're looking for options to serve during Lent or a delicious family dinner, stop by your friendly neighborhood Randall's. This week, shop with a remarkable card and pick up fresh Atlantic salmon for only $6.99 a pound and fresh catfish fillets for just $4.99 a pound. Fresher seafood, tastier meals, better value. Randall's, proudly serving Houston families since 1966.